Across all of ESPN, we're kicking off V Week on November 30th. We do it every year around the start of college basketball to honor our teammate Jim Valvano by supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research, a foundation that he announced in his unforgettable ESPY speech so many years ago. And Jim's message of don't give up, don't ever give up, means even more to us this year than ever before. We're seeing it hit especially close to home with our beloved teammate and cancer fundraising champion, Dick Vitale, and his recent cancer diagnosis. If you're able, join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can give by going to v.org/donate now. Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Monday afternoon. Joining us from Los Angeles, where he's just done NBA Today and has a car to the airport coming in 35 minutes. So we got to be quick, Marcus.
What's up, brother?
We got to be efficient. Not quick, efficient.
I'm here. I'm ready.
joining us from Chicago is Jamal Collier. How's it going, Jamal?
Good, man. I'm just trying to, you guys do the efficient stuff. I'm just going to play my role right here in the corner. And if the ball comes to me, I got it.
Hit that three, man. There's a lot of guys make a lot of money in this league hitting threes in the corner.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff going on in the league right now, but I got something that has just caught my eye that I've got to, I really want your guys' opinion on. So over the weekend, over the Thanksgiving holiday, we had two sets of courtside fans get ejected for stuff that they said to players in Indiana. There's two courtside fans who got ejected for what they said to LeBron. I don't know for sure what was said, but reports are that it had to do with his family. We'll just leave it at that. And then on Sunday in Memphis, a fan got ejected because he was talking about the report from the Daily Memphian said the Kardashians. I don't know if I assume it was Khloe Kardashian, but talking about Tristan's longtime girlfriend. I don't know if they're engaged or, but they have a child together. And Spears, I just want to ask you, you've been around a long time. You're not that old, right? But you've been around a long time. What do you think is appropriate and crosses the line for what can be said? Because LeBron was obviously put out and not happy at all with what was said to him. And considering the circumstances around it, I understand it. But what do you think is, where do you think the line is with the fans in today's situation?
Brian, I think you covered the 2010 NBA Finals, correct?
I did.
Okay, and I don't know if you remember this or caught it, but when Lamar Odom, who was dating Khloe Kardashian at the time, was at the free throw line during some games in Boston, or at least one of the games, they started chanting "Ugly Sister" to Khloe, about Khloe, and it wasn't anything like that the security could do, because
there's too many people.
Like, how do you pinpoint, like in Boston, if you a Celtic, they got your back. Once you play for somebody else, oh my goodness, they don't care who you are. They're gonna try to find something. And it was sad. They were chanting "Ugly Sister" after the game, and Lamar was asked about it, and he didn't comment. I got it. But I just think that you got to keep it to basketball. And there was a great guy named Robin Ficker in Washington who was hilarious. And he would talk about stats. And he might tell some funny stories about you, but it never was, like, personal. And, I think anybody who was married or in a serious relationship can relate. Like, man, once you cross that line, you start talking about my lady – at my job, like it's at their job,
right?
You should go, but if it's a group of people, like, how do you stop that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's happening more. Obviously, there was that fan in Atlanta last year, right when fans were being allowed back in with the limited courtside seating, and got kicked out again with LeBron, had the whole thing. I don't know if it's, with everything that comes back, that people are just being more emboldened, or this is just the same it's always been, and there's two this in 3 days, so we talk about it more. But I don't know, Jamal, you know, back when I used to sit courtside, I was always sort of impressed when some fans would come up with some creative heckling, because they had done their homework. And I'm all for a creative heckle, but lowest common denominator or wishing ill on your family, that's a rough one. And there's a card at every seat in every arena. There's a flyer or a card or whatever that says what you can and can't do. But it's become a thing right now in the league.
Yeah. But I mean, like I'm with you, man. I mean, it's just whack to me. Like, there's so many like different creative chants or ways to go about it. And like, those things are fun, right? Like, they're same at Bulls games, especially where right there courtside under the basket. And, you know, I look forward to that, right? When somebody says something that makes me chuckle or says something that's like, wow, you really did, like you said, did your homework on this. And, you know, there's this an obvious line across, like an obvious line that people know what the line is, right? Like, you know, stuff that you wouldn't say to somebody's face, you know, that you wouldn't go up to somebody and say, right. That you feel comfortable yelling from wherever
that's
away.
Actually it's a just, pretty it's good, just that's actually a pretty good rule of thumb. If you wouldn't say it to the player when he was talking to you, like, you might say, hey, man, you choked. You might say that to a player. I mean, you know, maybe not in the hallway by yourself.
Stuff your free throws up. Yeah.
Yeah. You might say that, or, you know, but yeah, I'll bet you, yeah, I think that's a good, you know, but just, we had the stuff a couple of years ago with the guy throwing the water ball at Kyrie. Was that in Boston, Spears? I think it was in Boston. Right. And
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. It's just, I'm not happy about
the Russell Westbrook stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's just not acceptable in any sense of the word, but like, yeah, it's just, it's not a good trend. It's just not a good trend. And, you know,
and they should appreciate the luxury of even being at games now.
Right.
Like, I was in the bubble, man. I it was friends and family crowd, you know, like,
literally friends and family, you know. Yeah. This last weekend there was a college tournament at Disney Wide World of Sports, and it was the first time, you know, I'd seen a game there since the bubble. And it, I mean, clearly they didn't have the wraparound scoreboards and everything and the lighting, but it's almost unbelievable that looking at that in its normal setup, that was the court that they played the finals on.
Oh yeah. I didn't even, Brian, I saw that highlights the other day. I didn't even recognize the place.
Right. Right. Would you have PTSD if you went back to Disney World?
I want to go back. I think I was one of the few people that wasn't cracking, you know, mentally. And I'm not going to put, you know, all my colleagues out there, but and Brian, we talked about this before. I made a point to make my room a good place to be in terms of things I love. Unfortunately, one of the things I love is wine. So I had a wine fridge, and I had I made my own coffee every day. I had my iPad so I could watch the local news.
You and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Yeah. I had good coffee too, you know, and I didn't charge nobody. And my mom even sent me like a toaster oven so I could warm up food better. And I was, you see how much I fish now, like, I made
right.
the best
you
of
are
it.
A fisherman.
So I actually want to go back at some point and go to my room and just sit there and talk to my room again.
That's amazing.
I spent 90 days in that room.
Yeah.
How many days are y'all there?
I was there for 90. I think Malika was there for like 110.
Yeah, she went early.
I'll say this, Malika had the hookup now.
Really?
Oh man, she had the best room. I'm not going to put all her business out in the street. I'll let her tell you when she's on the podcast. But let's just say I don't think anybody had a better hookup there than Malika. How's that?
Well, I remember seeing LeBron's room when he put some stuff on social media.
Not compared to the players.
Okay.
Obviously.
Okay. I understand.
But like, I think Lisa Salters, I will say this, Lisa Salters, understandably so, had a suite, right? And then when she left, she gave it to Malika. So that was, gift that Lisa Salters gave her.
I see. That's cool. All right. Well, coming to modern day, the modern day NBA, we have a big game on Tuesday night in Phoenix. The Suns are going for 17 in a row. I think when they put this on the schedule, they thought, oh, this is, two teams that are should be pretty good, should be a pretty nice game for Tuesday night. This was not a premier game because otherwise it would be. Actually, you know what? They're playing on Christmas, so maybe it was a premier game. But
yeah.
So Warriors Suns are going for their 17th consecutive win, which is just crazy. The Warriors won Sunday in LA, and that took them to 18-2. So 18-2 Golden State for 17-3 Phoenix. Phoenix with 16 wins in a row. I mean, the Warriors have won, what are they at? They've won 7 in a row in their most recent win streak. So the Warriors are 7-1 on the road, which is really impressive. They played more home games than road games. And actually, this is a start. Phoenix has an interesting run here. Phoenix has played the same amount of home and away games, but they've got 10 home games in December. Wow. So they play the Warriors 3 times. So they've got a chance to really, even if they lose this game, to really keep it going. So I'm heading out to Phoenix Tuesday morning to go to this game. And the thing is, I was doing something on Booker that's going to run on ESPN.com on Tuesday on Devin Booker and Chris Paul. They have been just incredible in the clutch this season. The Suns have had 9 games go into clutch situation, which is less than 5 points in the last 5 minutes of the game. 9 times that's happened to the Suns. They've come out with the win 8 of those 9. Devin Booker is shooting 73% from the field in clutch situations, 60% on 3-pointers. But when I actually went back and really looked at the numbers, but I went back and watched some of their clutch situations. I mean, because CP is shooting 67% in clutch situations. But as I'm watching it, what I've seen is that Chris Paul is playing and making some of the best decisions. Even in his career of doing that, Spears, he's even playing at even a higher level at it. He's got a 5-1 assist to turnover ratio in clutch situations this year. And he's shooting 95% at the line. Now, this is pretty basic. This is hardly, next level analysis, I agree. But one of my takeaways from watching how the Suns take care of business in these fourth quarters, Chris Paul makes his free throws. He goes to the line and makes his free throws, and there's no give. They don't yield at all. And considering that these two have only been together 12 months, that trade happened in mid to late November 2020. Watching them play together, I wouldn't say it's quite Draymond Steph, but they're in the same ballpark, Spears. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Yeah, and I think, too, they got an extra chip on their shoulder, because they kind of feel like people saw them as a team that got to the finals from default. They didn't really deserve it. It kind of just worked out that way due to injuries and to the Warriors and the Lakers, Clippers and whatnot. So I think if there was one thing that came good out of losing that finals is, one, they got the experience of playing on a high level. And then two, they feel disrespected. So it kind of made their focus better. And I hate to say it, but the Sarver nightmare probably helped them focus even more, because they haven't lost since that news came out. And which shows you how much their focus is and how much they're worried. They're not worried about that. They're worried about playing. And so I've been impressed with them. I talked to Chris Paul before training camp, and he, you know how Chris is, man. He kind of has that Michael Jordan chip on his shoulder, find something. And just a, yes. I think the lack of respect that, you know, Suns have received since doing such amazing things. I mean, you don't even, like, we don't even talk about them as if they were in the finals, really. Like, you know what I mean? We still talk to them about them like they were just some decent team last year. I don't think they've gotten their flowers from last season, and I think it's something that has burned them mentally, and they're showing everybody that they are for real.
Yeah, Jamal, that's why I think these – I mean, you're not going to say anything in just November or December really proves anything. But the Suns have also played an easy schedule to this point. I think they played one of the easiest schedules. So they've been a team that's been very fortunate with injuries. They had the fewest missed games due to injury last year. And this year, DeAndre Ayton missed a couple of games with a leg injury, but they've been healthy this year, especially relative to some of the other teams. I mean, look at Denver, for crying out loud. Denver is, you know, decimated right now. But they play the Warriors three times here, including Christmas Day, Jamal. So the Suns are going to get a chance to have some. They've already got, you know, 16 in a row is a pretty big statement, but they've got some opportunity to make a statement in the league as to where they are.
Yeah. I think, like, one of the things too, like them taking care of business against all the lesser competition, but like, that's what good teams do, right? Like, it's they teams that shouldn't be on the floor with them, don't have the same amount of talent. You beat those teams and you beat them pretty soundly. So I've been really impressed with them. You know, I was skeptical as well as everybody else was, kind of coming off. I think it's not just the finals run, but it's also like this team just came out of nowhere, right? Like, I mean, from them to go from missing the playoffs and one of the worst teams in the league and then making that big of a jump, I think people naturally expect some kind of just like regression or some kind of like coming back to earth there. And I think even before the season, when I looked at the conference and tried to examine where this team was at, like they do everything well. Like, you know, Chris Paul, like you said, in crunch time and running your offense, there's a certain floor that you're always going to be at. Devin Booker has been really impressive. I'm really impressed of his shooting has even taken a jump from three. He's up over 40% from three this year.
You know what? He was terrible the first like six games of the season. So like, yeah, even like maybe not quite a third, but he's shooting these numbers and he got off to a bad start shooting the ball too.
Yeah. I mean, just like, you know, everything about them is just a solid. They're not going to play a bad player. Like you said, DeAndre Ayton goes out and, you know, all of a sudden Frank Kaminsky looked like he couldn't even be on the floor at times in the finals last year. It's just, you know, filling in super well for them. So I'm just impressed and sort of bought in and this team being just a legit contender and just one of the best teams in the NBA. Like, I don't really have any caveats about it. I'm excited to see them against the Warriors a couple of times this month, just because I think there's going to be some fun games and see how they stack up. But, I think I'm all the way there as far as this team and thinking that they are, you know, them and the Warriors as far as like the two best teams in the conference right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors have been just tremendous. The thing about the Suns is Monty Williams is, yeah, you know, we focus so much on offense. It's an offensive league at a lot of times. But Monty Williams has been, you know, really pounding away on the fact that they need to be a top 10 defensive team. And that, you know, if you talk to him about their play so far, especially their play in the clutch situation, he'll bring up the defense, that they're getting stops at the defensive end. And that's where they're going to be, you know, really tested because, you know, yeah, they are a top right now. They rank seventh in the league in offensive rating. So that's pretty awesome. But they have to do it defensively. And guess what? They are number three in the league defensively And that's something that isn't getting talked about at all. And Mikal Bridges is a reason for that. Chris Paul is a reason for that. DeAndre Ayton is a reason for that. Jay Crowder is a reason for that. They have a lot of guys who can get it done the defensive end. And like, before I looked that up, that they were third, if you'd asked me if they ranked higher offensively or defensively, I said, well, you know, offensively, I mean, you know, they've got some real gunners. But, you know, the Warriors being, they've been number one in defense all year. And right now they're number two to the Jazz in offense. But, you know, everybody says, oh yeah, Warriors top three in both. Well, the Suns are top seven in both. And Spears, that's the signature of a real contender. I mean, definitely no, obviously they've gotten some breaks, but doesn't mean that they're not a worthy finals team and worthy again.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, it's good to see Chris Paul and Steph play against each other again and it be meaningful. Right. Seeing like the only thing I wish Clay was there. Obviously, we wish Wiseman was there because I wanted to see how the size that the Warriors do have, you know, counters with Ayton and JaVale McGee. So we're not going to get a total, I guess, evaluation of what Warriors Suns is. But these two games and then I guess, golly, they're going to play on Christmas. Like they're playing. Do they even play again after that? Like, do they play?
Yeah.
Again?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up, but
yeah.
So it's three times in like 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. And so, you know, hopefully there is a game later on where, cause I do think this trend of those guys being so great is going to continue where we could see them play with Clay, with Wiseman. I mean, like as odd as Lakers fans don't want to hear this, you know, or Clippers fans, whatever, but there very well could be a Suns Warriors conference finals. And I'd like to see both teams at full strength to see what that battle royal truly looks like.
Yeah.
Well,
Steph is hot too, man. Steph is hot right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but even if you like, if somebody still has the opinion, right, that Phoenix backed into the finals or were a bit of, you know, fortunate from circumstance last year, like, I mean, a lot of those circumstances are still there, right? Like Denver still got the injury, kind of got injuries mess there. We're not sure what's going to happen with Kawhi and the Clippers. The Lakers, you know, enough less said about them to better. Like, you know, they're sort of are right in position by just doing everything well and having having that identity of knowing exactly what kind of team they have. Like, in just good, like a very good position to sort of do the same thing and get back. Like you said, at least to the conference finals. I guess my only like question with them is I'm not sure if they're are they any better than last year. Like, is this just sort of the same team continuing what they've been, or do you think that they've sort of even reached another level? Because I'm kind of
I do like the McGee pickup.
Yeah, he's been great.
Some more size, and you know, I don't have their roster in front of me. I feel like they added a veteran guard.
Well, Landry Shamet,
was the guy
that they traded for, and he's had some more shooting. Moments.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Cameron Payne has also been hurt and hasn't come back. But, you know, yeah, how they, you know, there's sometimes where you play great defense on Steph Curry and it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, and I realize if you go back to that, you know, 14 to 16 run, you can find some stats and some stretches of games where he is just absolutely white hot, unconscious. But what he's been doing recently, I mean, he had a stretch where he had 4 games out of 6 where he made 9 3-pointers.
Wow. I mean,
that's
9.
That's, yeah. And you know what?
Wasn't that the stat that like other people in the league history, there's only like a handful of guys that have ever done it like 3 times in their career or something, right?
He did it in 2 weeks. He did 4 in 2 weeks. And you know, and here's the thing, he's still shooting below what he shot last year. Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, barrel-sinking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
I mean, people are like, oh my God, he's back. I'm like, guys, I don't even know if he's.
Yeah, if he left, totally, right?
I don't know if he's totally hot yet.
Well, you know, Brian, you know what is different with him is that he's playing great defense, that he's taking the big matchups. And I think a part of it is he bulked up, got stronger during the offseason. And I think one thing that also helped him and Draymond is, although Draymond did play in the Olympics, like not playing in the bubble, strike-shortened season, it gave him some rest that they both desperately needed, you know. And I remember Dale Curry once telling me that Steph has played more postseason games than a regular season. Like I think he's played over 100, right? So that he said, think about it. He's like, that's an extra season that my son has played. But yeah. Now
talk to LeBron about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, LeBron can relate, right? Like, so now Steph, who has gotten his body some rest, has gotten his ankles some rest, and knock on wood for him, you know, he seems like he's in a really, really good place physically, and is stronger too.
So he's listed, and he has been listed for a really long time at 185 pounds. What do you think he actually is, Spears?
Well, I want to be surprised if he's at 200 now.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, he definitely, when you look back to even, you know, 15, 16, look at him today, there's just no question. There's just no question. And my God, go back and look at him at Davidson to today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's, I would just ballpark 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Give or take more. So, all right, well, that's going to be a good game. By the way, the other finals team, we talked about them a little bit last week, but they've now won 7 games in a row, Jamal. You're with them a lot. You're practically at every home game. You've been on the road with them. They've gotten healthier. Spears was part of the story that they signed Boogie Cousins. It was funny, Spears, you reported about how they did a workout in Vegas. That's when you know, like, you know, you may be out of the league, but when you can get the Bucks to come to Vegas to watch you work out, or maybe they wanted to come to Vegas.
Yeah. And the Nuggets.
Oh, the Nuggets were there too?
No, well, different. The Nuggets worked them out last week. I assume it was in Vegas as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they came to Vegas to work them out, and he signed. That is an indication. Well, Jamal, is that an indication that Brook Lopez is farther away than they hoped?
That's certainly how I'm taking it. I mean, he had started, I think, a week ago to at least like get back on the floor and it seemed like do some basketball activities. But, you know, I think Giannis has had so much on his plate just in general, and especially earlier in the season without playing the five and without other guys on the lineup, that like if you can start taking some of that pressure off him and some of the load off of him now, you know, why not do it? But I do think that is an indication that Brooke is probably still at best, you know, we're talking a few weeks away.
Yeah. Giannis at center is something though, man. I mean, it's not something that you want to tax him with, but and look, let's put it into perspective, this winning streak. So they beat the Lakers, who was healthy in that game. The game was in LA. LeBron was out for that one. Right.
Yeah, it was in Milwaukee, but LeBron was out.
It was in Milwaukee.
Everybody, right. Yeah, but the rest of the guys were there.
Right, that was the start of that road trip. Okay, then they beat the Thunder at home. Then they beat the Magic twice. The Magic came there for a 2-game stand. They beat them twice. Then they play the Pistons at home. And then they did play at Denver in Indiana in a two game, and they swept that.
Yeah. No, Denver, no Jokic. Yeah.
No Jokic, no Porter, no Murray, obviously. So, and then they did pound the Pacers on Sunday. So look, I mean, it's not exactly, you know, running the, a gauntlet of what the Suns are about to face the Warriors, but still, considering that they were struggling a little bit, and at one point I think had fallen, you know, two games under 500 or so, the fact that they're getting their feet underneath them, I think should be a bit of a eye-opening thing for their Eastern Conference for sure.
I mean, yeah, despite, you know, all of that, they were 6-8 before this seven-game win streak, and you kind of look up today and they're a game and a half out of the one seed. Their defense has been, they've been first in the league during this span, the seven game win streak, and they're up to fifth in the league over during the month of November. So it's like, once again, like just a reason to take your hands off the panic button with this team, right? Like when they've got Giannis, which also Giannis, Chris and Drew, when those guys have all started in a game this season, they still haven't lost.
Is that right? How many games is that?
I believe it's 9-0. They were, yes, 9-0.
Well, that's that's a good stat, Spears. That's a good stat.
So that's just it, right? Like they still are sort of waiting to be maybe fully whole. You want to get Brooke back. You want to Dante DiVincenzo, I'm assuming, is going to play at some point this season still. But, you know, even with having those three guys, and like you said, it's not been the sort of competition that would really, you know, it's not a great competition they've been playing, but once again, they've been taking care of those teams in the Bucks in the years past when they've been dominant. They just blow the doors off those teams. I mean, they were just very unkind to the Magic in those two games that they came to Milwaukee for.
Well, one thing I've been impressed with the Bucks is watching Giannis. He's still doing what he worked for him in the finals, which is going in the post, using his size, getting easier buckets. He still shoots that occasional three, but he's unstoppable when he's in the post. It's when he, you know, wants to go downhill and wants to shoot threes and wants to be a perimeter guy that I think he takes away his superpower and makes it easier for, you know, opponents to deal with him and take offensive charges. But right now, I think we're seeing that bull in the paint. And I think, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I hope for his sake, he continues to play that way.
He's also passing just extremely well. I think his assist numbers have been right around career high, or just it's about the same as last year on an average basis right now. But it just feels like he's making the right read. Again, early on, people were sending double teams at him when Chris and Holiday and Milton weren't on the floor, but. You know, I think just like he is just making the right pass every time. And if he can take another leap in that respect as well as a playmaker, you know, Grayson Allen just feels like it's just been wide open every single time because, you know, people are obviously rushing to help on Giannis and Giannis can just find him perfectly in a corner. Like that is also just been an underratedly just very strong pickup for them that you just have another shooter that is going to be able to knock down shots when people have to overcommit to them.
Hey, I got to run, guys.
All right, Spears. Thank you very much for joining us. Sorry we had a little bit abbreviated today, but we're glad that Spears could be here. Thank you to Jamal. Thank you to Jackson, our producer. And we will be talking to you guys later this week.
And thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.